Muy buenas tardes a todos los hermanos reunidos.
Good afternoon to all the brethren gathered in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, together with the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and all the ministers present today, Friday, October 18 of this year, 2024. For this occasion, our subject will be the order of God's army, which was preached on May 10 of 2014 in Lima, Peru. And the scripture that we have there, which our brother William used, was for the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11 and on, where it tells us, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And there on top he writes, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treateth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the order of God's army." You may please be seated. It tells us in the message the adoption of the Anointed One, which was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Saturday, June 20 of 2009 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It tells us, just like the first coming and his crucifixion, whether they understood or not, they were crucifying the coming of the Lord. They were crucifying the Lord in his coming. The Roman Empire was the one that physically did it at the request of leaders like the high priest, who was appointed by the Roman Empire, and some of the Sanhedrin Council. In a writing, it tells us here in a notebook, this writing from Brother William, it tells us, "For David's son, Solomon, who had David's promise to ascend to the throne, which is forever, in which Christ, as son of David, has the promise of heir to that throne on which he will sit. But his path to the throne has been difficult." And below, he writes, he continues to write, it cost him death on the cross, losing all popularity. It cost him being a man. There it says, disrespected. It is a word, but it's, I one can't understand very clearly what he wrote, but because notice what he continues to say, let's say it is disrespected. It cost him being a man, disrespected in the kingdom of the Gentiles, represented in the statue or image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And he was only known as Jesus the Carpenter of Nazareth. Now notice, it cost him. It still goes on there, but let's turn here for a moment. Notice that it cost him the death on the cross. Now notice that so it will be It will be the same for this end time in the fulfillment of his coming. It will cause him his death. Because notice Revelation 11, there it shows us what will happen to that ministry. And also what was shown in the vision that a sister had. Let's look in the book of quotations for a moment. We still need to read further here in that writing, but let's turn to the book of quotations that is on page, on the paragraph 1004. Let us see there. It says, this is an excerpt from the message, Soul That Are in Prison Today, on page 114. It says, I know someday that's going to cost me my life. Remember that the ministry of Elijah is speaking there, which was being operated by the Holy Spirit in its fourth manifestation, and at the end time, it is one of the two olive trees in its fifth manifestation. That's right. It's going to. But here, the truth is being known, just keeps dripping with blood. Yes, it'll do it someday, but I'm waiting that hour when it's finished. Some sister had just had a dream, and she sent it to me and said, I seen them, that church fixed a way. It's going to kill me secretly. Sometime I'm getting out of my car, going in, be fired from. That's where he also writes explosion, but said, then the Spirit said, not at this time, and he writes fourth Elijah, but it'll come later. And he writes fifth Elijah, Revelation 11, 3 to 7, or 5 to 4. Let's see here for a moment, because it is a little bit up to the 7. It is Revelation 11, 3 to 7. He writes there above, God forbid that I compromise on anything. I know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are living in a horrible day. Sin has did this. They stoned Stephen. They had John's head cut off. She did. I don't know how we will give ours, but it'll be someday. Above that, he writes Revelation, that is, above the paragraph, he writes Revelation 11 from 3 to 14, Revelation 11 from 3 to 14, and he writes, they will kill Elijah and Moses. That didn't happen in any of the messengers, nor did it happen under the ministry that God was operating, the Holy Spirit bringing us the good tidings in our brother William Soto Santiago. Now, notice that here, in this writing, he tells us it cost him, and he writes, death on the cross. That is, that path to the throne, losing all popularity, because, you see, the way that he was condemned, he was judged, and all of that, that was the worst that they spoke of him to crucify him. They have to go through a process for him to fulfill the requirements so that the law at that time could be applied unfairly because it was unfair, and so that by law they could accomplish the purposes that the devil was carrying out there through them. They were those were the devil's instruments. There is a place where he also wrote, referring to Judas, look, he wrote, Judas sold the path to Christ. In other words, he sold the place where he was. That is, he handed over, he turned in the disciples of Jesus, and he was being represented there. Notice that by him turning in and betraying the master, and by charging for that, and when he even told them, I will take you, that was what he had done. He sold the path. In other words, he betrayed the path that later the sons and daughters of God would be receiving to obtain the new birth, and thus obtain the theophanic body of the sixth dimension. Judas turned that in to the Council of Sanhedrin and to everyone back there, those religious leaders. But notice, God's sons and daughters under the dispensation of grace did not sell that path. Rather, they received that path as a treasure, and that path led them, that is, brought them back to the Father in the spiritual realm. By the devil selling the path, it led him to hell. Now, look. He goes on to say here, in this writing, I will repeat that part again where he says, it cost him death on the cross, losing all popularity. It cost him being a man who was disrespected. Let's say that that was the word that he placed there, in the kingdom of the Gentiles, represented in the statue or image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and he was only known as Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth. As we would say today, that he will only be known, let's say, as so-and-so, the carpenter from Calle, let's say. See? We are already speaking plainly, because notice that the whole content of the seventh seal, well, and for those who have already mentioned it there and pronounced it, he would be known as Jose, the carpenter of Calle. In other words, notice that when the seventh seal is opened, we clearly see what it is, which that seal had not been opened, because that seal would be opened right at the coming of the Lord, which he had said in the book of the seals, where he shows us here on page 561 from the book in English. He says at the bottom, see, Israel gathering its own homeland, but you notice he omitted the revelation of this seventh seal. And here, when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also omitted it again. See, so we see that it is a complete mystery. Therefore, the hour is not yet for the mystery to be known. Therefore, we are this far, and the rest of it will be known right around about the time that Jesus appears on earth again for his bride, or whatever takes place at that time. See, and there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the arrow to the cornerstone, because with the coming of the angel that was different from the rest, which is the coming of the seventh seal on the earth to gather his bride, take his bride, that is when that mystery of his coming will be opened. He himself will be opening that mystery, which comes with a new name. Now, look, he goes on to say here in this writing, that is how it is for every angel messenger of each age and every member of the mystical body of Christ, which is the church on the way to the throne. In other words, the church goes through that same process as well. And there on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. We will later put on this writing properly so that in the draft it is placed there so that you can have it there. Now, look at what our brother William continues to tell us here. He says, we stopped where he had said the Roman Empire was the one that physically did it at the request of the leaders, like the high priest, who was appointed by the Roman Empire and some of the Sanhedrin Council. Now, notice what God says to Moses. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, that is, to that mountain, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Many will be seen, like Moses saw, what the promised land will be. In other words, many will, and those are the same ones from the message who will be seen that whole manifestation where it was seen by Reverend William Branham, where God's power was unlimited, where it says, what you have seen partially, you will see it in its fullness of its power, he says, when the squeeze comes down. Now, in the meanwhile, they may laugh and mock and all of that, but once that time comes, when they see that it was truly the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire leading the people, then many will be like Moses. And look, he says, many will be seen like Moses saw what the promised land will be, but they will not enter into it. Now, how will they see the promised land at this end time? Because they will be seen, sons and daughters of God, with that power and that authority, and that is when they will say, give me some of that. I want it. They will begin to knock at the door, and the door is Christ at his coming. In other words, they will want some of that because they know it was a promise given by God, just like Moses knew that there was going to be a land, because that was the promise that he gave him, that there was a land flowing with milk and honey and that they would go in. He knew all of that, but because he lost his love for the people. Now look, that was what he wrote here in this writing as well, where he put in a writing there, it says, just as he was told not to go to Israel, he's speaking about Brother Branham, because it was not yet the time. He was also told that he had done what Moses had done. He lost his love, his feeling for the people of God, and Moses wasn't able to enter the promised land. But Joshua, the Holy Spirit, he writes there as well, brought the people into the promised land and divided it amongst them. Notice that Brother Branham was told that he had done what Moses did, and notice that by Moses, by not crossing over to the promised land, and by him telling him that he had done what Moses did, he didn't enter alive either. That is, he was not transformed. He didn't receive the promised land of the new body alive. Now, notice, neither did those who have departed from all the ages up to the time of Brother Branham, nor those who have departed in our time, including Dr. William Soto Santiago, none of them obtained the eternal and glorified body alive. Now, notice that there would be a ministry which would be the second man who, while he was alive, would be in the midst of his church with the ministries of Moses and Elijah, being operated by the Holy Spirit and the one of Jesus. And he will give his life, Because the same thing will be fulfilled like in the time of Jesus, where he said, "No man takes my life away from me. I lay it down by myself to take it again." That ministry is an adopted ministry, and it is the second time, it will be the second time that a man spends only 3 days and a half, and then resurrects. Notice, his body will not see corruption. Now, many will be seen like Moses saw what the promised land will be, but they will not enter into it. That is, all those who will be rising up against the coming of the Lord at the last day, as simple as that. In other words, everyone who is against the coming of the Lord, against the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord at this end time, and who has believed in the message, and it is in the message, and says that he has the message, but is against the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord, they will be like Moses, typified in Moses, who saw it from the distance. Many will see those elect of God with those eternal and glorified bodies, and they will want to give me some of that. I want it. How did you do it? How? What happened? Why not me if I also believe the message? That is the greatest sadness that any person at this end time will be feeling in his heart and soul. And they will say to him, "The rapture has already taken place," because then they are going to start seeking to obtain that. They are going to start searching. Let's see where we can find something that gives us a clue. Let's see. God will already take his bride, and when they see the judgment, but wait, wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? What are we doing here, receiving those divine judgments? That has already happened. In other words, it is going to be during a time of confusion, even for those of the message. But they will obtain strength, and God will help them so that they give their lives in the great tribulation. And after the millennium, then they will go through that judgment where if they come out well, they will go into eternity. Now, he continues to say here, even the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist, are going to rise up against the coming of the Lord and will fight against the Lord in his coming. But the scripture says that the Antichrist and all of his army will be defeated. It goes on to say, in other words, it goes on to say, he is reading that scripture that we read, which Brother William quoted about Moses, where he told him to go up to the top of Pisgah to see the promised land. And he told him, "Thou shalt not go over this Jordan." And he goes on to say, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him." That is, by speaking to him, encouraging him. "For he shall go over before these people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." Now, look at the writing that he had, that we had read in a few minutes ago, where he says that, "But Joshua brought the people into the promised land and divided it among them." In other words, God still fulfilled the promise to bring the people that he delivered into the promised land, which he had promised, but by using another instrument, another veil of flesh. Now, our brother William says, some people, when they lose a position and they know that someone else is going to occupy it, they start criticizing that other person and try to make his life impossible or difficult so that he is not placed in that position. And the saying is fulfilled in that person that they neither eat nor let others eat, similar to the saying that Jesus said, "You neither go into the kingdom nor let those who want to enter to go in." We read that in one occasion from the message, God's only provided place of worship. On page 36, it tells us at the bottom, on paragraph 271, it says, Moses was in him, Joshua was in him, and if you are in him, you was in him before the foundation of the world, the family of God. You suffered with him, you died with him, you went to the cross with him, you rised with him, and now you are still with him, sitting in heavenly places, reflecting the message of the age to the world, the light of the world. Now, look, in the first coming of the Lord, He ascended to heaven and sat in the right hand of the Father, and notice that all who received that work in His first coming were seated in heavenly places because we were in Him the whole time. Now, notice that to be seated with Him on the throne of David, we must be with Him the whole way, in His birth, in His journey, in everything that is happening and everything that will happen. We will be identified in that ministry so that it is physically fulfilled on earth, that we will sit with Him in the millennial kingdom on the throne of David. See how everything is parallel? Back in the time of Jesus, it was in the spiritual realm. Today, it is in the physical realm. If we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. In other words, everything is fulfilled because the scriptures have multiple fulfillment and multiple revelations as well, which we will be speaking more openly on Sunday, on the Sunday's message. Now, see, he goes on to say, ye are the light of the world, but if it's hid by a denominational bushel basket, how are they going to see it? For your traditions, you make the light of no effect by trying. You denominationals trying to keep the light away from your church. You won't go in, neither will you let them. Now, look, these are hard words here from Brother Branham, but it is nothing but the truth. He writes in the front there, he writes, you don't go in, no, do you let them go in? And there he also writes above the door, that is, to the door. Now, notice also here in this writing, where Brother William left us in a notebook, he writes there, Abraham had a smile of faith in his heart. Sarah had a smile, and he writes, laughter of unbelief in her heart. I may have treated Sarah, Abraham's wife, very harshly, but I want to say that what I condemned was her unbelief, as Jesus condemned in Thomas, in those who came from Emmaus, and the other apostles who didn't believe the good news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was a biblical prophetic promise of the Old Testament. And then Jesus had promised it when he said that he would be crucified, but after 3 days he would resurrect. And he continues saying, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up. And the people thought he was speaking about Solomon's restored temple, but he was speaking about his body, which was his human temple. And he continues, this is almost a message. And it says, the ones who criticized Jesus were the unbelievers to God's promises for that time being fulfilled in Jesus, and they had a laugh and smile. It was the impression or an expression of their soul's unbelief. How many have laughed at this time. And they mock and they laugh as if to say, who does this guy think he is? Look, that's exactly how it happened in the first coming of the Lord. Now, he continues to say, it was unbelief expressed that way. There are many ways or mechanisms to express the unbelief or the faith that is in the person's soul regarding to the fulfillment of what God promised for that time. And he continues, example of unbelief. In the time of John, the B, John, and he writes the B abbreviated, John the Baptist, and Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus said, the publicans and the harlots go in the and to the kingdom before you, comma, because John B, that is John the Baptist, came baptizing and they repented and were baptized by John and you were not. John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking like other men, and you say he has devils, meaning he is a madman, a demon possessed. Notice the same thing that happened with the manifestation of the fourth Elijah in Reverend William Branham. He was a man who, since he was a little boy, the angel told him, you will not smoke, you will not drink wine nor cider, that is, you won't drink alcohol, just like John. And the Christian world, or most people, said that he was a madman. Some even said that he had devils too. The same thing that happened with John the Baptist. Now, our brother William continues to say, where it says, meaning, he is a madman, demon-possessed, that he puts that in parenthesis. And he continues to say, and the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say, this is a gluttonous man and wine drinker and a friend of publicans and harlots. Now notice, there is no way to understand people. But God fulfills His promise, that is, the prophecies, and what He had spoken through the prophets that would be the fulfillment of what He promised. He fulfills it in the way that He has already planned, and it has already been determined by Him whether people like it or not. He is always going to fulfill it. Not everyone will agree, but that is why there is predestination and divine election. Now, notice also in this message, God's only provided place, or God's chosen place. A few minutes ago we read, God's only provided place of worship, and now in the message, God's chosen place of worship on page. Let's see here. On page 22, it says, on the paragraph 107, it says, Malachi 3 said, I will send my messenger before my face to prepare the way. And the one that was sent to prepare the way identified him, the place, that's him. There is no mistake. That's him. I see the sign following him. I know that's him. A light coming down from heaven and going upon him, it was positive that was him. Then, my brother, I want to ask you something in closing. We might say this in Malachi 4, aren't we also promised another eagle, a pillar of light, to be following, to show the earring church this day that he is, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Aren't we promised another one to come flying from the wilderness? And there he writes, eagle on the right. Amen. That's exactly the truth. How fitting and matching it is to Luke 17:30, where the Son of Man, eagle, will be revealed himself to bring to naught all other worship places, and there on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the bottom part and towards the cornerstone, such as denominations and so forth. God chose his place. John said, there it is. And then we were promised the same thing in this day. Malachi 4, to turn the hearts of the children back, to say that he is not death. These things are not for another age. Baptism in Jesus' name was not for back there, but he is now the same. Amen. To bring to naught all other places of worship. That is what the last day eagle is to do. There on the left he writes, to bring to naught all other places of worship. On the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. To show all the rest of it is foolishness. Denomination is folly. But to point them again with the same sign that he did, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Also in Revelation 4:7, we had four beasts that we've just been through with. The first one was, we found out was the lion, and he writes, the lion of Judah. That was the first beast that went forth to meet the challenge of the day, the lion of the tribe of Judah. After him come the next beast, and we find out that the next beast was an ox, and he writes on the right, ox, which was a beast of burden, a sacrifice. In the days of the Roman cathedral, the church died out, sacrifice. The next come was a man, was a beast with the face of a man, and he writes, man, and that man was a reformer, man's education, theology, and so forth. But the last beast that was to fly, the last beast that was to come, the Bible said it was a flying eagle, hallelujah, and he writes there, eagle. And the prophet said, in this day it shall be light. Oh my, in that day there shall be light. There's been a day of reformers. There's been a day that just a shadow can't call day or night. But in the evening time, in the eagle time, it shall be light about eagle time. There he begins to sing this. The path to glory you will surely find. In the waterway is the light today. Buried in the precious name of Jesus, young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost will surely baptize you in, for the evening light have come. It is a fact that God in Christ are one, and Brother William writes on the right, the place to worship today. And Brother Branham continues to say, amen, it shall be light about the evening time. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone and to the gap. God's only chosen place to worship. Oh, what's this message come to? What is he going to do? And in his day it shall be light, and at the evening time, and what? To welcome his children back home to the true promised land by the same sign of the pillar of fire that led the people of Israel through the wilderness. God's chosen place to worship, Jesus Christ, that's the only place there is. That's the only name God has for salvation. That's what he has named the family of in heaven. When it's on earth, it's Jesus Christ. Oh, church, oh, people, sinner, friend, don't trust in nothing else but Jesus Christ. Don't trust in any preacher. Don't trust in anybody else to save you. Trust not in any church, any creed, any denomination. Trust only in Jesus Christ, for he is the light of the hour. And there he writes, the light of the hour is the place of worship. For the dispensation of grace, it was Jesus. For the dispensation of the kingdom, notice, it is in his final manifestation, which comes with a new name. Now, look, in the dispensation of the law, he is as Father. In the dispensation of grace, he is as Son. And in the dispensation of the kingdom, he is as Holy Spirit. And in the dispensation of the law, notice, Lord. In the dispensation of grace, had a name, Jesus.
Ahora viene a ser
Now, he comes to be the anointed one, in other words, the Christ. And in the dispensation of the kingdom, well, he comes with a new name. We are going to start seeing this more clearly. We touched on something now, but we will be seeing more clearly as this great mystery opens more and more, which in the first coming of the Lord was opened clearly on the day of Pentecost when he said, God has made Jesus Lord and Christ. But notice, if he was the Father in the dispensation of law, the Lord, in the dispensation of grace, how will he be in the dispensation of the kingdom? And notice that in the dispensation of law, he was manifested or manifesting himself as Father, but notice that in the dispensation of grace, by the Son coming, the name had to come in that Son. Now, let's see a place here as well, where, since we touched on something here, in this same message, there is a place here, let's see. In a writing, he had several notes there, where in the dispensation of the kingdom, he has three names there. In other words, the Holy Spirit, notice that he is the Christ because God has made Jesus Lord and Christ. But notice that in the dispensation of the kingdom, he is also the Christ. But notice that those names that are placed there mean the same thing. Messiah, Anointed One, Christ. It is the same thing. Now, if he made him Lord because he was the Father of the dispensation of law, now, in the dispensation of the kingdom, when he came in the dispensation of grace with the name Jesus, in the dispensation of the kingdom, well, he comes with that name that only he understands. Now, let's read a little more here, where I told you that we were going to read on page, let's see here if it is the message, God's only provided place of worship, where he says here, page 28 on paragraph 211, it says, oh, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Branham, that was the Son, not the Father. The Son always takes the name of his Father in every case. I come to this earth in the name of Abraham, because my father's name was Branham. And he says, every son comes in the name of his father. Now, look in some drawings that he made here on a Bible study. He puts the cornerstone and the bottom part, and on the base he puts Peter, James, and John, and on the first age he writes Paul, and from there to the seventh age he doesn't write anything. Well, we already know the messengers. On the seventh age he writes WMB, that is William Marion Branham, messenger of the seventh age, and above on the cornerstone he writes YHWH. Now, he writes there several scriptures as well, Revelation 2, verse 7, 3, verse 12, and notice, in this other one, in another writing, where he also draws, in this Bible study, he draws a cornerstone at the ages, and there he does write them all below: Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, William Branham, and above on the cornerstone he makes a question mark for a question, the two question marks above. And on the book of the seals, there is also a place where he writes Lutherans, Wesleyans, Branhamites, and above YHWH. In other words, the ones who are identified by the name Branhamites or Branham, those belong to the seventh age. And the ones of the cornerstone, well, those are the ones that belong to the new name of the Lord. Now, notice, he says here, Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. You want scripture on that? John 5:43, see, I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. Then the Father puts his own name, which is Jesus, in the Son, and he is the way, he is the door. He is the house. He is where God chose to put his name. God never put his name in me. He never put it in the church. He never put it in the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic. See? He never put it in the Lutherans, Wesleyans. Are you understanding now? But he put it in Christ, the anointed Emmanuel. In other words, in the manifestation of the Word, that is where God put his name in his first coming. And the name is placed in the most holy place. It is not placed in an age. And if it is a new name, it cannot be a name that was already used. And the name is in the Word, because He is the Word. Now, if the name is in the Word, that's what He tells us on page 295 of the Book of the Seals in English, where He tells us, on the paragraph 196, but when our Lord appears here on earth, he'll be riding on a snow-white horse, and he'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word. There it is. The Word of God incarnate in a man, and he writes there the theophany, the Word, the angel. The angel of the covenant became flesh in the first coming of the Lord, and he was known by the name of Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth. In his second coming, the Word comes, the pillar of fire, which Reverend William Branham saw speaking to someone above where he was, and he saw that it rested there. And then when he comes down and sees everything, the very first thing that the angel says to him, do you remember the name you were hunting for when you dreamt of it? He was looking for that name, because that name is none other than the new name of the Lord. There is no other name is more glorious or greater than that name, which the bride of this time will be called the New Jerusalem. Now, he says, and the name is in the Word, because he is the Word. Amen. What is he? Then, the Word interpreted in the manifestation of the name of God. No wonder flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. Who am I? And upon this rock I will build my place of worship, and the gates of hell can't shake it down. Now notice, that revelation was built upon who was Jesus in his first coming, place of worship, where we entered the most holy place of the spiritual temple under that path, which we did not sell, but instead we held on to and embraced. We believed in it, and it led us to the Father. Another, Judas, sold the path, and it led him to hell. Now, at this end time, some will sell the path. They will betray the path, and it will lead them to the fifth dimension, which will be fully opened on this planet Earth, which they will go in alive, just like back in the days of Moses, they went into hell alive, Dathan, Abiram, and Korah, and all their company. Like so, they will enter into the great tribulation alive. It says that death, they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. In other words, they will try to commit suicide, and perhaps when they harm themselves, they will suffer even more because they won't be able to die, and they will have all the sorrow and all the plagues and things that are falling. In addition to what they inflict on themselves, the wounds that they cause, they will also suffer from those wounds that they won't be able to die. In other words, it will be something terrible what it will be happening in the Great Tribulation for those people. It says that death will flee from them. They will seek death. How? Well, trying to kill themselves, because the Great Tribulation will be unbearable, but they won't be able to, because where are they going to go if they are in the dimension? Now, see that will be later, because, in other words, at that time, the 144,000 and the foolish, God has already taken them, and He will grant them to kill them, and for that time, they won't be in the Great Tribulation now. He continues to say, "And upon this rock I will build my place of worship, and the gates of hell cannot shake it down." And there he writes in a form of a question, he writes, "Who is the Son of Man today?" Now, our brother William continues to say here, where we had stopped, where he tells us, "Ye neither enter into the kingdom, nor let them that would enter go in." The typical case is that of Saul, who was placed for king, did not fulfill what God commanded him. He was cast off by God, and then he knew that God had chosen someone else, and he made war on that person and was looking for him to kill him, instead of saying that God had already cast him off, and now he had chosen someone else, David. And he would have said to him, "You are my son-in-law, you killed Goliath, and the promise was that I would give him my daughter as a wife, so the kingdom stays in the family, and I am going to help you in everything, and I am going to work so that all the people will accept you as soon as possible, and you will occupy the throne, and I will retire and come to be your advisor." That would have been better. Brother William says, and now, see, God tells Moses what he has to do with his successor. Encourage him, speak to him, treat him well, strengthen him. Tell him that he will have the victory, that God will be with him. And so Moses did with Joshua. Now, see how nice it is when that instrument hears from a minister or from the people of God words of encouragement, words of strengthening, and telling him, "Keep going. You are going to obtain the victory with the people. Do not be afraid." These are words of comfort. These are words of encouragement. Now, on the other hand, that instrument may hear words of discouragement, hurtful words slander, because how many have arisen, and those that are left, but with the strength of the people and with the help of God, that messenger will reach the end. I will have the victory with the people. In other words, the chosen ones will never leave that ministry alone. It will not happen as it happened in the first coming of the Lord, where he told them, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. In this end time, there is a complete and open knowledge of everything that will be happening, and they will be hand in hand with that ministry, no matter what happens. And so Moses did with Joshua, that is, with Hosea, the son of Nun, and he called his name Joshua, which means Savior, Redeemer. Now, further on in this message, he says, that is, the same way that the Father did with Jesus Christ will do with the overcomer. For God to do what he did with Jesus, he had to be anointed, the anointed one, by the Holy Spirit. And now for Jesus to do with the overcomer, it has to be with the anointed by Christ in the Holy Spirit, and he has to have God place in him what Revelation says, what I told you about, he that overcometh shall sit with me, I will give him to sit with me in my throne. That is in Revelation chapter 3 verse 21. But now look here what it says in Revelation chapter 2, and this scripture has to be fulfilled in this end time. Chapter 2 verse 17, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The message of Revelation is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking from age to age. Therefore, it is the revelation of Christ, Christ revealing himself in the midst of the church through the messenger of each age, and the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ bring that revelation for each age. And there we are not going to explain much of the mechanism, but there is a mechanism in all of that. But everything is simple. Now, he says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. And now it does not say, and those who receive it, but to he who receive it, he says he's going to give him a little white stone, that is, the little white stone not cut with hand, which is the Christ, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit. The name of God was placed on the angel of the covenant, which is Christ in his angelic body. Then it was placed on the veil of flesh. But now Christ says that he will give him a little white stone, and in it a new name that no one knows. The name Jesus is known to all, and in Hebrew, Joshua. But now he says that it is a new name, that no one knows it, and if no one knows it, he says that the one who will receive it will know it. No one knows it, but the one who receives it, therefore the one who received it will be the anointed by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And now, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, where it says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. In other words, a very important person in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also in the heavenly temple, because he belongs to the order of Melchizedek. He is very important priest in the temple. Just as Christ is the high priest of the heavenly temple, he is the Melchizedek who appeared to Abraham and appeared in his angelic body, but he is in heaven with his glorified physical body, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. This is the promise for the second man who will have the name of God. The what? The second man. It cannot be in one messenger who later came in another. He would already be the third. In other words, he is the second man, that is, the only one who will have that name. In clearer words, the last messenger, the Benjamin of the prophets, is the only one who has that name. Man who will be on earth in this end time, But before, just as Jesus in his heavenly body had the name of God, that person in his heavenly body will have that name. And it is not known for how many years, millenniums or millions of years or eternally. Here it says, the Holy Spirit, which is Christ, in the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, where the name of God is, it says that he is going to write the name of God in that person, in the overcomer. And he continues to quote the scripture. And the name of the city of my God. In other words, that city will be known by the name of God, of the city of our God. And right now, we are going to see something else in that name. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35, it says, it was round about 18,000 measures, and he's speaking about the city of Jerusalem, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. And Jehovah's Sama means Jehovah or God is present, the name that God has present in the midst of the Hebrew people, which will be physically manifested in the midst of the Hebrew people. That name that has the presence of God there will also be the name of the city, and that will be the name of the one who will be adopted, of the anointed one of God. Now, look at what we read a few studies ago from a study where we placed the scripture of Isaiah chapter 52 verse 6, where it says, therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak, behold, it is I. And he writes there, he will be in the Messiah in his body of flesh. And he draws above a cornerstone and he writes, in a tent cathedral, today's most holy place, YHWH. Now, he continues saying, now, we will continue reading, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And Christ says that in the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, and if he says that he will write the name of our God, the name of the city of our God, and his new name, he will fulfill it, and he will write it upon the overcomer, which will be the messenger that God has. As for the time of the adoption of the physical redemption of the elect of God, which will happen after the seven church ages, it will happen in the age of the cornerstone. There is a writing that he also wrote about the years of each age, and he, and that was in 2009, I think it was, let's see that study. And remember that in 2009, he had said that the half hour of silence had not yet begun. He says, but it will begin. So, in 2009, still, there he's saying that it had not begun yet, but that it would begin. He was saying there that one was still living under the dispensation of grace. Now, look, in this Bible study, he wrote there under from 1 to 7, and he writes, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and on the side, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, WMB, and he writes the years next to it. And in the part of the Laodicea, he writes 1906, a dash, and a question mark. That is, two question marks. Now, notice that under the dispensation of grace, it was extended that time where he had preached that 1977, Brother Branham foretold that in 1977 it was the end of the church and the entrance to the millennium, the introduction to the millennium. Now, you see how from that call for someone to present himself to take the book until The management was made that work. There was a time of waiting where John cried very much. But notice, in this time, God was carrying out the construction of the most holy place with living stones. So that place would be constructed, would be built, so that the presence of God would enter and those sons and daughters of God be placed there. Those living stones, and God placed His name in the midst of her. Now, notice that in 2018, people were still being baptized. And everything pertaining to the dispensation of grace was being carried out. Therefore, that date, more clearly, we can see it already in reality, not in what was going to be a type and figure of what it would be in this end time, the end of the dispensation of grace. Now, he continues to say, that is the age of the adoption, the age for the redemption, the age for the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and the transformation of us who are alive. That is why Christ said in John chapter 6, verses 39 to 40, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should rise it up again at the last day. It is on the last day that all these promises under the dispensation of the kingdom will be taking place, such as the resurrection and the transformation of our bodies. Because he said that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and he writes, in the flesh, and they shall rise. It did not happen in none of the ages, nor did it happen in the time of Dr. William Soto Santiago, but it will take place at this end time, where the voice of God, through the last dispensational prophet messenger, who is in the midst of his church, making known all that pertains for those that will be transformed and also for those that will resurrect. It is the voice of God speaking in this end time, bringing the rapturing faith to all the elect, sons and daughters of God that have come up to the age of the cornerstone, to this dispensation of the kingdom. We have seen the order of God's army, which we were seeing in a few places. And we hope to continue to expand in all that we have spoken today, and that God continue to open the understanding, the scriptures, so that we can comprehend all the great things that God is fulfilling in the midst of the church, which is what the prophets spoke, what Reverend William Branham spoke, and what is being seen today in the fulfillment of those, all those good tidings that Dr. William Soto Santiago brought to us, where he was bringing us those news, where he told us in 2016 at the end, I have been sent from the presence of God to bring this news, these good tidings, and the faster I give them, the faster I can leave. Notice, he gave them and he left, and it is up to the church bride to look and see where the pillar of fire is fulfilling what was promised. Many have already seen, many are already seeing the pillar of fire working in the midst of the Latin American and Caribbean people. If you have not seen it, may God open the understanding of the scriptures and listen to only one voice, which tells us, come up hither. You are not a rooster, you are not a chicken, you are an eagle. Flap your wings and come up to the age of the cornerstone, to the dispensation of the kingdom, so that you can be in that order of God's army and be placed in the position that you belong. The order of God's army. We stand up and thus leave in this subject the order of God's army, our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.